Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
And he goes on to say, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You're just using that to say it ends up nothing. It ends up going nowhere. Obviously, we understand between saint and sinner, sheep and goats, between the saved and the unsaved, there's a lake of fire and an everlasting destruction for those that have rejected the truth. But in this particular setting, he's not as much focusing on that as he's saying, if you think you can really do something on your own, it's just going to end up in an ash heap over here before it's over with, because you can't really do anything without me. It's like what I remember T.W. Barnes, who was a great prophet of the Lord for our organization, the United Pentecostal Church, Apostolic People. He shared this one time. He said back in the 40s or 50s, he was having healing campaigns. And it was T.W. Barnes' healing campaign. Or T.W. Barnes' three-night healing revival, whatever it was. And a big tent set up. And he said he was walking up to it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, well, I hope you have a good one. And he realized what the Lord was telling him. For you can do nothing without me. And he took his name off of there. It wasn't T.W. Barnes' healing campaign. It was just healing campaign, because it was in the name of Jesus anybody was going to receive healing and miracles. You know why this church is going to continue to have revival and restoration and the setting of captives free and baptizing people in Jesus' name? It's because we're all in agreement that we can do nothing without him. But because we know that, we're dependent on him. He is our blesser. He is the God of abundance. He is a God of harvest. He's going to bring great things to his people. And so the Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Boy, now we're getting into a deeper dimension. I mean, first we were just talking about having some fruit. Now we're talking about having favor with God. I mean, when you start bearing the character of Christ, he can start trusting you with things that he can't trust the novices and the unlearned and those that have no spiritual reasoning, because they haven't been through anything. It hasn't been forged in any fire, hasn't been through any furnace. But when you've been through some things and you've proven, I'm not going anywhere because I'm dependent on him. I'm not going anywhere because I'm fitly framed in this body. I'm not going anywhere because I'm sold out to this truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. I'm going to stay in this. I'm determined at this because I am totally dependent. Where else am I going to go? What am I going to find it's anywhere akin to what I have right now? Where can I get mercy like I get from God? Where can I have grace like I have from God? Where can I gain peace like I have in his presence? So he's saying, you get to that level. Then here's what I love, because it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. See, the words abiding in us precedes what I'm asking according to my will, because obviously by then my will has been shaped by his words. So what I start asking that's not amiss, as James would later teach, what I'm starting to ask really is right on target with the will of God. I'm basically praying back to him words he's already put in me. And his word doesn't return void. Mine, they return void, but not his. Praise God. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, Isaiah 55 says. So that's a powerful relationship to have in the kingdom of God. And he says, I'm trying to think where I'm at now. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So in these eight verses, we see the different levels of bearing fruit. You're bearing fruit, and then you're bearing more fruit, and then you're bearing much fruit. How do we continue to grow and develop in these areas? It's in our oneness and in our relationship with Him. So that then we can go to Psalm 19 and 7 and say, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I live in that because I'm connected to Him. I abide in Him, and I understand that I've had a conversion of the soul. There's been a transformation of character in us, and our belief system is stronger. Our testimony becomes stronger. Why? Because it began with His love. It began with His law. It began with His word. The law of the Lord is perfect. Doesn't need me to add anything to it. Doesn't need me to transliterate anything. Doesn't need me to interpret anything. Doesn't need me to second guess God. I don't know why you did it that way, Lord. Probably because He's a whole lot more intelligent than we are. I mean, the worlds are upheld by the word of His power. I mean, the universe is not falling apart right now. If He just pulled back and said, forget it, I'm not gonna hold anything together anymore, we'd all be dead in the next few seconds. Because all the planets would just start running toward each other, and everything would just fall apart. So I figure if He's smart enough to create canyons and mountains and rivers and lands, and vegetation, and everything that we see in 6 days, He probably has a way of figuring things out without my 2 cents worth. The law of the Lord is perfect, so it converts me to the way He thinks. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is why Peter would say in 2 Peter 1, he would say, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth into the darkness until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is by any private interpretation. For the prophecy of old came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is how He could take a group of fishermen and tax collectors and just ordinary men and some who were despised in their society, and He could turn the world upside down and even have the smartest of the Sanhedrin and doctors of the law observe in Acts chapter 4, these men are ignorant and unlearned, which means they didn't go to our universities. They didn't get PhDs from us. We didn't sign off on their diplomas, but they did get a master's degree. They're ignorant and unlearned, but they've been with Jesus, pertaining to, connected. They've been with Jesus. That's why they're having miracles and you're not. You got all the knowledge, but you don't believe the testimony of the Lord. That is sure, that makes wise the simple. That's why the Lord sometimes confounds the most intelligent in the world with the people that might even consider to be dumb. But let them call them dumb, but they walk right into that hospital room and lay their hand on a fevered brow, and God works a miracle. Answers their prayer and all their medicine and all their intelligence and everything they have built and everything they have contrived. And everything they've come to put together hasn't worked. All their books that they've written doesn't work. All their philosophies that they've come up with, no matter how persuasive they sound, we come back to the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, and we stand on that. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Puts joy in me to know. If I live according to the word of God and I'm dependent on the word of God and I have a relationship with God because of the word of God, it puts a rejoicing in my spirit. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Folks want to get smart. Folks want to have intelligence. Folks want to read self-help books. It's great. Until you start challenging and contradicting the word of God. Because the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want to get more intelligent? Do what God says. Walk a path of obedience. You'll see things that'll blow your mind. You'll discover things in your relationship with God and over time and experiences that you'll never find in any book. You'll never find in all the libraries of secularism and humanism in the world. It doesn't matter how many things they've penned and what they've discovered. It's nothing, nothing, nothing like the depths of discovery in the kingdom of God. Your greatest enlightenment is to get into this word. If you're feeling confused, if you're feeling disoriented or disillusioned, if you feel like you don't understand what's going on, just do what the Lord says. Live in his commandments. Walk in his word. Enlightenment will come. There'll be some clarity. Then it goes on to say, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's clean. There's something that has a cleansing agency in it, if you will, when I revere God, when I'm in awe of God, when I tremble before his presence, when I understand how great he is, but also how terrible he can be. The balance of that. What a mighty God we serve. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 19, verse 11. So I have all these things that show me the power of God and the word of God, my dependency on God, and I understand that because I stay connected to the will of God and the purpose of God, to the true vine, and I know that I'm totally dependent on him and that without him I can do nothing, then when things get bad, I hear the warnings. I hear the warnings that others might not hear. But he said, by keeping them too, there's great reward. Praise God. Where's my greatest success? Doing the word of God. Where are my greatest achievements? What are my greatest accomplishments? What are the greatest legacies I could leave behind? He did the will of God. He lived the word of God. To me, that's awesome. Because the psalmist would go on to say, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Psalm 19 and 12. That's a beautiful revelation going back to John 15 and 2. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And he tells us how he purges it in verse 3. Now ye are, everybody say, clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And now in Psalm 19, David has a relative word to that when he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Things that I might not be aware that I'm doing wrong, but because I'm dependent on you, then it flows right out of the vine into my conscience and conviction is developed. So I can't look at that. I can't say that. I can't be a part of that. I can't be in that group. I can't be a part of that behavior. My attitude can't stay that way. Why? Because I got some things flowing out of the vine, the Lord Jesus into my spirit and the Holy Ghost working in me. The Spirit of Christ working in me won't let me stay contaminated, won't let me be poisoned by the apostasies of this world. Isn't that powerful? Praise God. Keep thy servant back also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I mean, this is getting really revelatory now. Because he's saying, Lord, you've got to deliver me from secret faults. You've got to deliver me from errors I might not even understand. And then there's things that I might be presumptuously doing that I think is okay, but it's not okay. Let them not have dominion over me. Paul gives us an entire chapter in Romans 6 about not letting sin have rule and reign in your mortal body anymore. It cannot have dominion over you if you are a disciple of Christ. But somewhere, if sin is ruling in our lives, we have a deficiency. somewhere we're not receiving from the vine. We're not receiving from our relationship with God what should make us spiritually healthy. So maybe there's something wrong with my heart, and I have to pray like David did in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And when he said, then shall I be upright, that's talking about even posture. You don't walk around slumped down with the countenance of defeat or acting like a slave to sin that's being commanded and pushed along in chains and in addictions. And in bondage, you stand upright. It's the posture of victory. It's the posture of a confident child of God. Then shall I stand upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression, because the great transgression, because transgression is a disobedience to authority. And so the great transgression is a development of unbelief in me that comes to a place where I think I no longer need God. Therefore, I don't need repentance. So I have unforgiven sin in my life because I don't think it needs to be forgiven. That's the place of the reprobate and the place of the apostate. That's the great transgression, is when you think you come to a place where you're the final authority. But I'm not the final authority. My God is the final authority. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. I need him to touch me. I need him to transform me. I need him to change the way I think. I need him to help improve my behavior. And then he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a beautiful thing that started, well, in this part, verse 7, actually starts in verse 1 when he's declaring, the heavens declaring the handiwork of God. But here in verse 7 down to the end of that chapter, he started with the law of the Lord is perfect. And he ends up in a place where if I'm acceptable in your sight, you're gonna be pleased with the words that come out of my mouth. I wonder if gossip is pleasing. I wonder if backbiting is pleasing. I wonder if bragging about somebody else's decline and destruction is pleasing. Praise God. But maybe if we are praying for somebody, and maybe if we're talking the good things of God, maybe we should talk more about, hey, did you see what the Lord did for? Instead of, can you believe they did that? And they think they're going to get by with it? Yeah, well, you've been getting by with stuff for how long? Just because it ain't been discovered yet. Okay. I don't want to live that way. I want to be like David. I want to get in the presence of God. And even Bishop Hales taught us this through the years. This passage here in Psalm 19 is something he has prayed for many, many years in his own personal walk with God. And I think it's something we could all adapt in our personal prayer lives. Because when you pray what David prays here in Psalm 19, you're going to stay clean before God. Because the Lord's not going to let stuff just lay around. He's not just going to let the clutter of sin lay around in your life. He's going to put a word in you that's going to clean it out. Amen. And again, this is not, oh, here we go again. I did something wrong. No, that's looking at it the wrong way. It's, I'm a branch on his tree, and it's that connection, it's that relationship that's providing good things for me and making me fruitful. So why wouldn't I want him to prune things away that could hinder me from being better? Just like some of you have physical inflammation, some of us have spiritual inflammation, some of us have spiritual indigestion. Because we're eating junk food from the world and we're digesting philosophies of the world, and it is just, you know, we're walking around belching and going, I need some Tums. But if we have a diet of the word, he said it's sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. It's pleasant. It's going to get in you. When you get that in your spirit, let it become a part of you, praise God, it's healthy. I mean, if you just raise your right hand, snap your finger, you'll never have arthritis again, you'd snap 10 times. But you're still trying to find the next medication that brings the best pain relief, aren't you? You have already gone after 14 other advertisements you've heard, and some of it works a little better, and then after a while it's like a placebo or something. It's like, it stopped working. I got it. What's the next thing they're going to sell me? And in the kingdom of God, it's the same thing. Wouldn't you want to get rid of stuff that doesn't let you be spiritually healthy? Makes you walk around wondering, I wonder if the Lord is pleased with me? No, I'm going to tell you, when you're doing your best to be pleasing to the Lord, you have a confidence develop in you, because this confidence is connected to this truth. My God loves me. I'm not just a number sitting on a seat somewhere. He knows my name. I'm on the roll. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. I've been registered in the kingdom of God. I belong to him. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. So he's not going to mistreat me. He's going to heal me and strengthen me and empower me. And I'm going to become better in the kingdom of God because he's helping me to do things that I couldn't do without him. And so in a little while, when we come back in here, we're going to have a great vision service, and we're going to talk exciting things. And I believe God's got tremendous things for us, because we do realize where our fruit comes from. And we do realize where the supernatural comes from. And being the anointed of the Lord and the blessed of the Lord, you are more than conquerors through him that, loved. See, it's love. It's not just, well, he gave me power. You know, I'm spiritually programmed to do something, and I'm just a pawn on his chessboard. No, it doesn't feel that way about us. We are more than conquerors because he loved us. It was love that took him to the cross. It was love that made him endure what he endured. That confidence. You're going to do things for the kingdom of God. This is what I want to get in you. This is what I pray the Lord can put in you. This is what I pray that comes out of the vine, of the intelligence of the Almighty God, out of his knowledge, out of his wisdom, out of his being, out of his character, out of his essence, that it gets into us because we're branches connected to him, and that our fruitfulness becomes even more fruitful because we're doing the will of God, and we're going to see great things in the kingdom of God, and we're going to be victorious in the Lord. Do you believe that? It's a year of victory. It's a year of restoration. It's a year of God doing things that will blow our minds. It's a year of answered prayer. It's a year of open doors. And in other places, it's closing doors. It's not letting the enemy come in, but it's opening doors to the supernatural and to places of the effectual, where God wants us to set captives free and be a testimony to a religiously starved world. Because that's all they're getting, are the portions of leftovers and what men are telling them they ought to do, when they need to get back to what is the Spirit saying to the church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Why don't we just stand and lift up our hands to the Lord for a moment and thank him for his blessings and thank him for his love and thank him for his mercy that's everlasting and his truth that endures to all generations. Thank you for letting us be examples of grace and epistles read of men, because we are lights to the world, and you've made us that way. We are salt of the earth because you've made us that way. We bear the fruits as disciples of the Lord because you are the source. You make us this way, and help us to be more like him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
I was so close to giving in, but God
came through.
Yes, he did. And I thought my life was over. There was nothing else that I could do.
But God came
through. Sing the praise of the Lord.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.